You know, we celebrate Easter each year, and some people think, well, why? Why do you go to church? I mean, after all, it's an Easter egg hunt. In fact, I tried to dress up like an Easter egg. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah. Did I succeed?
Oh.
You keep laughing. Okay. You know, and we look at Easter as a bunny that lays eggs, right? Really fancy eggs, colorful eggs, no white eggs. Okay, and if that was all there was, then people be right. Why go to church? Why celebrate the Easter bunny at church? But you and I gather together not because we're looking for spectacular show or dazzling lights or colorful decorations and eggs, but we gather to celebrate because when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on Sunday morning to prepare Jesus' body for burial and found his body missing, and in all of her confusion, she heard one word, Mary. And Jesus talked for the first time after he rose from the dead. That's all he had to say. And when he said Mary, her world changed and our world changed. So we're going to read the scriptures together. I'm going to read the black and you're going to read the brownish, orangish color. Okay, and I would appreciate it if you spoke up, okay? But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stopped, stooped down, and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus was laid. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where he had laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," Rabbi. I want you to stop and think with me for a little bit. Can you imagine the explosion of emotion when she came to prepare his body for complete burial and instead found his body missing, and then finally hears Mary? How would you feel? What would that be like for you? So I want to go back a few days, and I want to look through her eyes. I'm going to do a lot of reading here, but I want to look through her eyes and allow me to describe what maybe she felt during the time. Mary was at the cross 3 days earlier, and she watched numbly. The good and gentle man who hung on the center cross had become her friend. She thought he was the Messiah, but what should she believe now? He was dying. A thief, crucified next to Jesus, turned to him, and Mary strained to hear as the man hoarsely said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus' words to that condemned man echoed through the hilltops. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." A chill ran up and down Mary's spine. Even at death, Jesus kept on forgiving. Her thoughts surged back to the first time she had met him. Mary had grown up in the village of Magdala on the Sea of Galilee, about 7 miles south of Capernaum, which was Jesus' home. She was wealthy. Her family had a fortune, and they made it in wool dyeing industry. Yet she was miserable. She was tortured in mind. She was fearful. Mary was no stranger to the oppression or torment of the demonic. Often driven to compulsive, destructive acts, she despised herself. She hated her actions, but she just couldn't seem to stop. Her fragile life finally fell apart. Disgusted and impatient with Mary's erratic behavior, her husband sent her back to her father. So she roamed the lakeshore as she pleased, crying out for help, but no one knew how to help. When a village boy told her of a prophet from Nazareth teaching in the fields north of Capernaum, she was off to investigate. The man radiated such good news. The kingdom of God was right here, he said. He talked of forgiveness, of cleansing, of peace and wholeness. The sick and maimed were healed when he touched them. God seemed to be all about. Even the tormented, like Mary, were being set free. And at Jesus' command, the demons would come out screaming, yet lives were liberated and transformed. The strange captive draw to him made Mary feel embattled with this nameless terror in her heart. Could she trust him? Mary had to force herself to join the group that crowded around Jesus, and then, all of a sudden, it was her turn. She looked up in panic. He looked down in love. Then his eyes narrowed and seemed to pierce right through her soul. His words hard and commanding, "Come out of here, you foul demons, and let her go." And her body stiffened, her chest tightened, and she thought she would burst and wanted to scream, and perhaps she did. She couldn't remember that day. Then it was over. 7 demons came out of Mary. Her muscles began to relax. She saw the gentle smile. He looked at her and said, "Mary, you are forgiven and you are free." She was free. She felt so clean, so light. She wanted to dance and sing, and she jumped up and started hugging all the startled women who stood nearby. She almost skipped home that night. Even her father marveled his little Mary, so long tormented, was finally at peace in her soul. She spent her days with the multitudes around Jesus, using her money to purchase food for Jesus and the disciples and the poor. An agonizing cry from the cross jerked her back to the present. Her Lord was dying. Mary listened through tears. The voice that once proclaimed God's coming kingdom on the hillsides of Galilee now shouted hoarsely, "It is finished." His head dropped to his chest. Thunder clouds that had been gathering all afternoon now cracked. Lightning flashed across the hilltop. Jesus' body hung limp. The other two still struggled to stay alive. Around here, she could hear the sobbing of Jesus' mourners. She took one last look, buried her face, and wept. Crack. Another split screaming. One from the thieves pierced in the eerie darkness. A soldier has shattered the leg with a club to make sure he died before the Sabbath began at sundown. They came to Jesus, and Mary prayed in her heart, "Oh no, dear God, spare him," she prayed. "He's already dead." The centurion knew. She could see it on his face. But to make sure, he motioned to a soldier to thrust a spear into the teacher's chest. Blood and water gushed out and then slowed down to a dribble. He was dead. Time passed as the soldiers marveled with the mixture of fear at how dark it was and how great the storm was rising, a soldier began to loosen the nails that fixed Jesus' feet on the cross. Two others on ladders unleashed the cross beam from the upright and carefully lowered it. Jesus' body still attached. His hands were released and his body laid into the arms of two men. Mary instantly recognized it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were well-known followers of Jesus. They lifted and laid his body onto a stretcher. Mary joined them to help steady the litter until they got to Joseph's tomb, which was very nearby. In the courtyard, outside the tomb, Mary carefully washed the pale body, removing every trace of the dry blood from his lifeless, mutilated back. Night was coming. Nicodemus and Joseph worked quickly, now binding the body with long strips of linen and folded what few spices they had brought with them, and they wrapped him. Finally, they tenderly laid the body on a limestone niche in the new tomb. Mary watched while they worked and struggled to push and heave the massive stone into place at the opening. Soldiers arrived and sealed the tomb. It's going to let Jesus rise from the dead, statement or two or a lie. It was dusk when they turned and left, and the Sabbath began. It seemed to drag on endlessly, despite the pain and the thought of being without Jesus. Mary determined to go back Sunday morning to finish anointing the Master's body with spices. She at least owed him that. Saturday's sun finally dipped below the mountains. Ah, Sabbath was over. She hurried to the spice merchant's shop with Mary, Jesus' mother, and Salome, and pounded on the door until he came downstairs and let him in. "Spices for the burial," Mary insisted. "No, we can't wait till morning." Sleep that night came in brief snatches. Long before sunup, Mary got dressed and met Jesus' mother and Salome, and the gray dawn streaked in the sky as they set out. Hurrying along, Salome whispered, "Who will move the stone?" "Oh, the stone," Mary said. She hadn't thought about that. As they came inside of the tomb, she gasped. The stone had already been pushed aside. "Grave robbers!" Mary yelled. "Can't they leave him alone even in death?" Mary ran back till she found Peter and John. "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb," she said breathlessly. "We don't know where they put him." Shocked, Peter and John took off sprinting. By the time she arrived back, Peter and John had come and gone. The other women had waited, and now together they peered inside the tomb. Only shroud wrappings remained where the body had been. Suddenly, the dim tomb was lit by the dazzling appearance of two men. Instinctively, she shielded her eyes from the brightness. "Who are these men?" One of the angels spoke. "Why do you seek the living from among the dead?" "Wonder what he meant by that," Mary wondered. "What is he talking about?" "Do you seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? He's not here. He is risen," the angel said. The three women were dazed. Even after the angels departed, "Risen," Salome said finally. "We've got to go tell the disciples what we've seen." At the garden's edge, Mary stopped. "Please wait," she begged. "I need to stay here just a few more minutes." She sat down by herself, trying to make sense of it all. How could Jesus be alive? She had washed his body herself. She knew he was dead. It was too good to be true. Could she cling to something this wonderful, only to have her hopes dashed one more time? But if it were true, Mary thought, if it were true, then Jesus' whole life had meaning. If it were true, then he was the Messiah after all. If it was true, then the one who healed her tormented spirit had conquered death itself. If it were true. The sound of footsteps interrupted her thoughts. Mary glanced up. It must be the caretaker, the gardener. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Did he not know who was buried here? Sir, if you took away the body, please tell me where you put him so I can take him away. No answer. So, he didn't know. Then she heard one word. Mary. It sounded like Jesus. She whirled around and looked up into his face. Rabbi! Jesus, her Lord, was alive. Very alive. Alive forever. I have seen the Lord. You know, this Easter, as we celebrate, the tomb is empty. I hope you can get a vision of that. The tomb is empty. Two angels sat where Jesus left. And no matter what people tried to invent, no matter what the Romans tried to invent, no matter what the Jews tried to invent as a reason why they took his body, he rose from the dead. We know. Don't we? But it just wasn't Mary. It was the disciples. It was over 500 people who saw him alive. And he spoke to. It's not about bunnies and eggs. It's not Easter baskets and all the fun that kids have. But like the hidden eggs, he was hidden for 3 days in the grave and then was found by Mary. It's not bunnies or eggs. It's not Easter baskets. It's the fact that he's alive. And if he's alive, so shall we be. Amen? This morning, as we celebrate his death for our sins, we also celebrate his resurrection because our Savior is alive. He fulfilled his promise of eternal life for us. Now, there's two tables over here and there's two tables over here. As we go to worship, go ahead and get your juice and your bread, maybe for someone else or two, okay? And come back and finish worship. And then we're going to celebrate his death because that's what saved us from our sin. And then we're going to celebrate in song his life because what he did means that will happen to us too. Amen? All right. Stand. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that song how much Jesus had 500 witnesses that he was alive, that he spoke to, that is hard to deny. But when we go to be with him, there's going to be a billion of witnesses that are going to see that we're gone. Isn't that going to be great? And you know, it's all because Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me," and let's remember him this morning. And then took the cup after supper, the cup called the cup of redemption, that they've been celebrating for thousands of years with the Passover, that it was his blood that bought our redemption. And let's, he said, "When you drink this, do this in remembrance of me," and let's remember him this morning. Father, we come this morning thanking you so much. Thanking you, Jesus, that how tough that had to be, because you knew you were going to do that right from a little boy. That you were going to sacrifice your life for the people you love. And Lord, you loved us then and you love us now. And we thank you for that. Well, our heads are bowed. You know, some of you may have come this morning and you may not even have a relationship with God. And let me explain that so that it'll make sense to you. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standards, and that the wages of that sin is eternal death. But he doesn't stop there. He says the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The free gift of God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's very clear. We need to believe in him as Lord and believe that he rose from the dead. And then the Bible says you will be saved. So I'm going to pray a little prayer. And today, if this is the day you would like to ask and invite Jesus Christ into your life and your heart, I'm going to pray a prayer. You can just repeat it along with me, realizing you're going to ask him to come into your life. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as you said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And as your heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you really meant it, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up and put it down and let God know you mean business and let us begin to pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much that you made it so easy for us, and yet life is hard. But you've made it easy to invite you into our life. And I pray for each one of those who had their hand up, and maybe some didn't put their hand up because they're still in indecision. As they make that decision for you, Lord, we just pray that they will, first of all, feel your presence. The second, I just pray that they'll come and talk to us and let us know, and we can help them. We can share through the Bible what's going on and help them begin to grow, because, Lord, without you in this life, it's horrible. And with you in this life, at least we have peace. We know where we're going. Just as Christ raised from the dead, we'll raise from the dead too. So you may be honored and glorified this morning. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you did for us. And may you be glorified throughout eternity, our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.